Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
Well, in these last days before next Tuesday's election, all I can say, ladies and gentlemen, is brace yourself for anything to happen. Now, the reason I say that is this. If you're looking at headline news, you're seeing headlines that are just all over the place with all kinds of things that are coming out relative to the email leaks that are being released by WikiLeaks and Julius Assange. There are evidences of things coming out of the investigation with Anthony Weiner and the New York Police Department that have been involved in that, or actually were a part of what was causing the Comey to come out last Friday and make his release. There are a lot of things that are there, but I will say this, the globalists and the establishment and who are aligned with the Clinton campaign are desperate. And it's very, very, very clear if you see what's happening out there. And in many respects, there's many parts of this Clinton campaign that's in free fall as a result of these investigations and these email releases that are exposing historic depth of corruption and compromise of national security issues and all of that. Now, I'm going to leave a lot of it is that on that issue there with you, ladies and gentlemen, right now, because we could go much, much, much further. But I just say, keep your eyes open, be prepared for anything to happen, because desperate people do desperate things at times. And there may be some of that. If you look at headlines, you will see some of that. But let me go ahead and welcome you to today. This is Sam Rohr. I'm going to be here with Gary Dahl today. David Kistler is away on other business. And we're going to do a couple things today. We're going to cover an area in this segment here in segment two on economic issues, because it's really the number one issue that are driving voters as they approach the election. We haven't done much on the program. We're going to cover that with a special guest. In segment three and four, we're going to bring in Pastor Isaac Crockett. He is a millennial age pastor. And we're going to talk with him about the attitudes of millennial age evangelical voters in specifics and what they're thinking about the election, about the future. And we're going to allow him to speak to the voters who may still be thinking that the most principled decision is not to vote for either presidential candidate or perhaps even to stay at home. Now, we believe that number is shrinking, but there are some who are there, and we're going to let Pastor Crockett, who himself is a millennial but also a pastor, speak to that group. Now, what I want to do right now, I want to go to the issue of the economics. I want to bring in a special guest, new guest to Stand in the Gap today, William Parker. He's the CEO of Grandview Asset Management, located in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. He is an author, national best-selling book, 2014, entitled Success Today with Brian Tracy. And he hosts a radio program in the middle part of Pennsylvania that's entitled Inspire to Retire. William, thank you for being with us today on Stand in the Gap today.
Thanks for having me, Sam.
We talk a lot about all the issues of the day on this program. We don't spend as much time on the economics, but we need to. And this issue, economics, is really right up there in the front. Jobs, the economy, people being able to prepare and provide for their households. It's the number one driving issue that they are approaching this election about. I want to start with this question to you first and help to put a few things in perspective if we could. The Obama administration, and even what we're seeing even today and yesterday, numbers that were released, would still indicate a very positive economic growth, job creation. That's what we've heard from the Obama administration for about 8 years. Yet, on the other hand, and actually being reported this morning, headlines, job unemployment 4.9%. October jobs report increase in new jobs 161,000. Yet, multiple job holders continues to hit an all-time high. And that's in the face of 94.6 million people that are not in the labor force. So I just want to ask you this question. What have we been hearing? Are these things that we're hearing positive? Where are we economically, and how are the facts coming out or the information coming from the Hillary Clinton campaign and the Obama administration, true or false?
They're false. I mean, it's just factual. There are more people unemployed today. And the numbers that you see, truly you need to be looking at the U6, which is the true number of unemployment. And that in itself has been, in my opinion, falsified. There are more people today, including millennials, that are in their parents' basement because they can't get a job than there ever has been in the history of the United States. The anemic growth we've had in the last 8 years, you really have to go back to the 1940s to look at the growth rate that we're seeing during the Obama administration. So there is not this great boom of economic growth in the United States. More importantly, we see that throughout the global economy, a tremendous slowdown. And so it's not just the United States, it's throughout the world.
So, in essence, Wayne, what you're talking about is that we have the picture of our economic condition here, but it is really vitally linked to also what's happening over there, is what you're saying. And I think we can agree with that. Let me go another question here before we go to the first break here. In your professional opinion, which candidate and candidates' economic policies will produce more jobs and a stronger economy for America? Is it Hillary Clinton and her policies, or is it a Donald Trump and his policies?
Hands down, Donald Trump. You have to realize the Wall Street machine, they're afraid of Donald Trump for a couple of reasons. Donald never made his money in Wall Street. He made his money in real estate. So if you listen to, and if you take a look over the last 8 days, basically the last 9 days, we've had the greatest slowdown in the S&P 500 since 1983. A lot of people, since the polls have been changing over the past week, Wall Street's afraid that Donald's going to win. And so the sell-off has occurred. The VIX is up 40%, and that's the volatility index, which is extremely high in a very short period of time. So those indications inside of Wall Street tell me that the people inside, the hedge fund money managers as well as mutual fund money managers, are afraid Donald's going to win, and they're selling out of the market. Hillary, she's tied to the Wall Street. She's doing talks at Goldman Sachs and other places, and she's in bed with Wall Street. So if you're listening to CNBC or Bloomberg, or you're reading the Wall Street Journal or Investor's Business Daily, and you're looking at the polls, all these things are leaning to the left because they know that Hillary will be more favorable to Wall Street. And that really actually helps the large hedge funds and the mutual fund families, and not the everyday average person on the street. Now, Donald, if Donald's elected, I think he'll put things in place that'll actually help the average everyday investor have an even playing field with the large institutions. And Wall Street is afraid that they're in panic mode.
So, really, and we're going to about ready to go into the break, but I think what you're talking about is you've got the people, you've got the establishment, you've got Wall Street. Hillary, what you're saying is really establishment in Wall Street, as we know, and then you've got Donald, who is an outsider, making most of his money from real estate, not Wall Street, which makes for a very interesting scenario. William, when you stay with us, we're going to come back after in the second segment. We're going to pick up on these discussions and go a little bit deeper into some things that have been stated, but even by some of Wall Street guys, about what people should do with the 401k and all of that kind of thing. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about oil and gas, and the importance of that and the policies gearing relative to that and economic development under a new administration. Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, Stand in the Gap today. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Securities and advisory services offered through Genius Wealth Management, member FINRA and SIPC.
Today, people are living longer than their forebears. Right now, more than 1 million Americans are alive past age 100. That means you need to work toward having financial resources that can give you independence into your golden years. But waiting different investment options may make you feel overwhelmed. You need someone, a trusted friend, who can come alongside and help you keep the complex simple. That's where the Life Financial Group comes in. For nearly 40 years, the Life Financial Group has helped thousands of families, not only here in Pennsylvania, Virginia, but nationwide, become even better financial stewards of God's blessings. Managing your investments may feel challenging, but by using a complete financial stewardship approach, you too can gain confidence and peace of mind that your wealth is protected and that you maintain your financial independence. With morally clean investment options, we can help you reach your goals while honoring your convictions. Call us at the Life Financial Group today at 610-385-4500 or online at thelifegroup.org. That's thelifegroup.org.
Hello, this is Sam Rohr. Although the term Christian education doesn't occur in the Bible, it does speak of the moral and spiritual instruction of children. It places a high value on knowledge, both of God and His works. It describes the moral and spiritual fruits of this knowledge and defines its ultimate purpose, the growth of your child in godliness of character and action. That's why we suggest you consider BJU Press K-12 materials. Your child's a unique individual created for a specific purpose. Proper instruction that includes the Bible and the relational influence of godly teachers produces a pure heart and a willing mind. The Bible calls that success. BJU Press materials are well written, grade level appropriate, and biblically integrated. They teach critical thinking skills and keep your child engaged and excited about learning. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit BJUPress.com. That's BJUPress.com.
Kings or Parliament could not give the rights essential to happiness. We claim them from a higher source, from the King of Kings and Lord of all the earth. They are not annexed to us by parchments and seals. They are created in us by the decrees of Providence, which established the law of our nature. They are born with us, exist with us, and cannot be taken from us by any human power without taking our lives. A quote from John Dickinson, 1804.
History was made on today's date. Stay tuned for an American Minute with Bill Federer.
Charles Carroll was unique. He was the only Roman Catholic to sign the Declaration of Independence, and he outlived all the other signers. At his death, he was considered the wealthiest citizen in America. On this day, November 4th, 1800, Charles Carroll penned a letter to James McHenry, the signer of the Constitution for whom Fort McHenry was named. Charles Carroll wrote, "Without morals, a republic cannot subsist any length of time. They, therefore, who are decrying the Christian religion, whose morality is so sublime and pure, are undermining the solid foundation of morals, the best security for the duration of free governments."
This has been an American Minute with Bill Federer. For a free transcript, call American Minute at 1-888-USA-WORD.
Without God, liberty will not last. A quote from Thomas Jefferson.
Remember, in this political season, it is God who changes the times and seasons. He sets up kings and deposes them. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the discerning. Daniel 2:21.
The citizens of America are, from this period, to be considered as actors on a most conspicuous theater, which seems to be designated by Providence for the display of human greatness and felicity. 1783, John Adams.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
In this segment, we're going to continue with our special guest, William Parker. He's CEO of Grandview Asset Management, Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. He's an author and he's a radio show host with his own program called Inspire to Retire. William, as we continue in this segment, I would like to do a little bit more of this compare-contrast between Trump and Clinton. We are only a few days away from the election. Economics, jobs are all a very, very key, yea, the leading interest that people state they have in approaching the election. You established in the first segment, without even hesitation, that the policies of Hillary Clinton would not be good economically and that of Donald Trump would be positive. But you also made a statement that Wall Street is a friend of Hillary Clinton and not so much of Donald Trump. Now, there are some who are saying that if Trump is elected, that it's going to have perhaps a downturn on the market, But then Trump's advisors are saying publicly that, but at the end of the day, you are going to have a significant increase in economic growth, and Wall Street and the Dow will go up. Comment on that piece of the equation, on what you think the market will be doing. It's actually nervous right now as we're speaking. So let's give a little bit of an indication of what we're going to see here in the next couple of days, and then after the election, be it a Trump or a Clinton.
Well, Donald does a few things. He's going to bring more jobs back to the United States, which will increase the amount of people putting money into retirement plans. I think that obviously has a positive impact on the S&P 500 and the Dow. And bringing jobs back to the United States is obviously something that he's promised us that he's going to do. Hillary's proposing more regulations, forcing not only that, but forcing businesses into profit sharing plans, which would basically dilute the ownership position of a lot of small business owners. So if you take a look at what she's talking about proposing when it comes to retirement planning versus what Donald's talking about, totally two sides of the coin. So Donald basically wants businesses to come back to the United States. He wants to employ more people. He wants to increase manufacturing. And if you take a look at manufacturing jobs are down tremendously. We still have approximately about 12 to 14% unemployment. You take a look at the oil industry, which in my opinion has been decimated by the Obama administration and Hillary Clinton. They're allowing foreign countries, Saudi Arabia and other countries, to overproduce since 2008, and it's really demolished the fracking industry in the United States. And if you take a look at North Dakota, South Dakota, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Texas, where we had hundreds of thousands of people working in the fracking industry no more than in the past 7 years. When oil was at $100 a barrel, they made a tremendous amount of money. Oil at $43 a barrel, they can't frack. And basically what's happening, these people have been let go. They're unemployed. And I believe that these foreign countries are basically they're fudging their numbers. They're actually over-reporting the amount of oil they're producing. The reason they're doing this is that if Hillary's elected, I think she'll come in and try to make a deal with OPEC to cut oil production. I think they'll agree to do so. But it truly won't be a cut in production. They'll continue to produce the same amount because they're over-reporting the amount they're producing today. This leads to an interesting, if you take a look at the correlation between oil and the S&P 500, there's a direct correlation. As oil continues to go down, so does the S&P 500. So in the United States, we have enough oil and natural gas to become self-sufficient. We don't need to buy oil from other countries. The reason we continue to do this is that they want to have a relationship with Saudi Arabia and the Middle East to buy oil and natural gas, and it's simply a political issue, and it's economically it's hurting the United States, the people that work in the United States in the oil industry and in the gas industry, and it's also basically affecting the stock market because as oil goes lower, the stock market goes lower.
William, it's a delight to have you with us, and thanks for taking time out of your busy schedule to talk to us and our listeners across the nation. And I was going to ask you about oil and gas and fracking, but I think you touched on that quite well. So let me go on just a little bit here. And Peter Navarro, who, of course, is one of Donald Trump's key economic advisors, recently stated that under the Trump administration or under a Trump administration, that by the end of his first term, the Dow would be in the estimated 25,000 range, or about a compound yearly rate increase of 5%. Now, knowing what you know about the Trump-style policies, the first question is this possible? And then, if you don't mind, follow that up by answering that, knowing what you know about Hillary Clinton and the Barack Obama economic policies, is this even remotely possible? Your thoughts on that, William?
There's no doubt in my mind that what Ronald Reagan did, if you pay attention, that the day after, people asked how could a cowboy actor become a president of the United States, and if the market had dipped there for a little bit, but if you stayed invested over the next 24 months, you made a ton of money. I think that his policies of bringing jobs back to the United States, employing people, and repatriating businesses from Europe back into our economy, once again, you're bringing hundreds of billions of dollars back into our economy. You're bringing jobs. You're more people are investing, and more importantly, if you cut taxes, it's going to allow businesses, especially small businesses, to hire new people, to make investments, and all these things actually help business capital expenditures. They're going to be buying more equipment. They're going to be renting more space. They're going to be building more buildings. So there's no doubt that by cutting taxes and basically doing away with a lot of the regulations that Obama has simply put into place to really hurt small businesses, including the Affordable Care Act, which is basically for small businesses, it's cost us a tremendous amount of money to insure our people, and it's really trying to turn the health care over to the United States government. As they have done in Canada. Now, you have to understand that the healthcare industry is about one-sixth of our economy. So if you take one-sixth of the economy and turn it into a government program, you're talking hundreds of billions of dollars that are no longer controlled by small business owners and turn it into a government plan. And as you know, the government really doesn't do well when they're in charge of things.
William, if you look at the economy where we are right now, everybody's, you know, those who are looking say, you know what, we've had low interest rates for a long time. People can't make any money in investing. Federal Reserve's kept that all suppressed. We believe that there's a lot of bogus numbers that have been coming out. We don't even know what is the case. The other day, I even heard from someone that someone from Wall Street was saying that they were actually encouraging people to go vote for Hillary if you were wanted to save your 401k. It's a lot of manipulation stuff that's going out there, Bill. Is it put some of that into perspective here right now? And do you believe that a non-establishment president, a Trump as a president thing, is even possible to take and correct these manipulative and bogus things that we've been hearing really for a long time?
Yes, listen. Once people are being paid more, at higher wages, and more employment, you have more people putting money into investments. And you know, a lot of people have forgotten that the United States was, you know, we were downgraded several years ago, the rating of the United States, because of our debt. You know, we have $21 trillion in debt. Once we get to $24 trillion in debt, it becomes almost impossible for us to pay that back in any period of time. We're talking about generations of trying to pay that money back. We're moving in the wrong direction when it comes to what's happening in spending. So you have to cut taxes in order for businesses to reinvest in themselves. So I believe that 401ks under Hillary's plan, I think that there would be a negative impact, and the reason I believe that is that I think you're going to have favoritism to rules and regulations. To if you watch The Big Short or other programs that talk about large hedge funds or day traders making a tremendous amount of money through using computers and some of the technologies out there, where they're making hundreds of millions of dollars while the average person is plodding along making 3 or 4% this year. I think there's a very big difference between what would happen under a Clinton administration versus a Donald Trump's administration. I think Donald Trump would bring back the uptick rule, which it was a rule we should have never taken away. It protected the market selling off until somebody came back in and started buying stock. So I think that Donald's smart enough to make things work inside of Wall Street. Wall Street doesn't own Donald, and I think they're afraid of him. And I think Donald's going to be the type of guy that's going to make the changes that's going to help people save for their retirement. I think Hillary's a negative factor for investors.
All right, William Parker, CEO of Grandview Asset Management, thanks for being with us today. Just making a very, very brief compare contrast between a Clinton administration and a Trump administration and helping to make that clear for our listeners today. Thank you for being with us. We'll have you back on at some future time here if we can. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening to so far to Stand in the Gap today. We are going to go through this break now. We're going to come back on the other side, and we're going to welcome in Pastor Isaac Crockett. Millennial pastor is going to talk to us about the thoughts of millennials in this election.
These are the times that try men's souls. The summer soldier and the sunshine patriot will, in this crisis, shrink from the service of their country. But he that stands it now deserves the love and thanks of man and woman. Tyranny, like hell, is not easily conquered. Yet we have this consolation with us, that the harder the conflict, the more glorious the triumph. Thomas Paine, The American Crisis, 1776.
Fox News Radio, I'm Chris Foster. New Jersey Governor Chris Christie campaigns for Donald Trump tomorrow in New Hampshire and Pennsylvania. Two former allies of his have just been convicted in the Bridgegate case.
Bridget Kelly and Bill Baroni were accused of closing access lanes to the George Washington Bridge that connects New Jersey and Manhattan as political retaliation for a Democrat who didn't endorse Christie. Christie has repeatedly denied any knowledge of the lane closure, but Kelly, Baroni, and a third official all testified Christie knew about the lane closings either before or while they were going on.
Fox's Tanya J. Powers, the guilty verdicts are being appealed. The death of three Americans is under investigation in Jordan.
Three service members have died, shot while approaching the gate of a Jordanian training facility at noon local time. Early reports said one American was killed and two others were wounded, but the wounded later died at King Hussein Hospital in Amman.
Fox's Lucas Tomlinson at the Pentagon. Fox News, we report, you decide.
From the Pennsylvania Family Institute, I'm Michael Gear with today's Family Update. I have some great and encouraging news to share with you today for those who support religious liberty and personal privacy. With the end of the legislative session in Harrisburg, Governor Wolf's troubling bathroom bill, which would have opened up public locker rooms, restrooms, and showers to people of the opposite sex who self-identify otherwise, failed to pass and is now dead for the session. This legislation would have also seriously undermined religious freedom. To all who engaged to oppose this dangerous legislation, thank you, and please stay engaged. First, make sure to vote on November 8th and send good people to Washington and Harrisburg, and get ready for battles in the next legislative session. And make sure to use and tell others about our online voter's guide at pafamilyvoter.com. That's pafamilyvoter.com. And you can find out more about us at Pennsylvania Family Institute at pafamily.org.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, welcome back to Stand in the Gap Today, and we welcome you back now as we switch gears in the second half of this program, as we welcome a special guest. And his name is Pastor Isaac Crockett. He's a senior pastor of Hamburg Bible Church. It happens to be in Hamburg, of all names. Funny names, isn't it? Hamburg, Pennsylvania. Pastor Crockett, thank you for being with us today.
Thank you so much for having us on. My whole family, we love to listen on a regular basis to your program and part of our family schedule.
Well, that means a great deal, and I appreciate you saying that, because we are hearing from folks across the country where that same kind of thing is happening all the time, Pastor, and it means a great deal to us. We want to have you on, and I ask you to be on the program today, because in this segment of this last week and the week before, we have been trying to spend time, again, relating to the election, and we've had on many different pastors. We've had others like former Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann. We had Ben Carson some time ago. So not all pastors, but individuals who are very much informed about what's happening. In the case like Michelle Bachmann, a very strong believer in Jesus Christ, as we approach this election, because there are so many people that are perhaps still confused and that kind of a thing. And so that's really what I wanted to have you on, because in this effort, we know, even from recent George Barna research from the American Culture and Faith Institute that we relayed, released, I think, on Tuesday on this program, or Wednesday, actually, it showed, I believe, that there's a major shift occurring in those who are politically active Christian conservatives relative to what they're going to do in this election. What he was showing was that there's been a significant change and a move towards those who were not sure, saying that they are now going to vote for Trump. And the other part of it was that they were first earlier, a couple months ago, those who were going to vote for Trump were mostly voting against Hillary. Now they're saying that they are more of them, by a large margin, saying that they are going to vote for Trump because they like certain of the policies. But yet we note and have noted for a long time, Pastor Crockett, that the younger the numbers, the younger the individuals go, when you get down into the 30s and the 20s, the millennials and below, that category is that the attitudes shift and more of them have been saying, in fact, that they think the most principled reason is that the thing to do is not to vote for president, that because neither of these candidates are perfect and so forth. I want to get some perspective for you, for the benefit of those who are listening, and start out with this question to you. What do you sense and what are you finding among the 20-year-olds and the 30-year-olds, those who are Christians, evangelicals, that you're talking with across the nation? What are you finding is their thinking about the presidential election, whether to vote or not vote for him? What are you finding?
Well, as you've already mentioned and you've said on your program, I'm seeing more and more people who were really strong in this Never Trump. And if you're on Facebook or any kind of social media, you see this hashtag Never Trump, and lots of young people seem to be, you know, on that bandwagon. I don't see much of that right now. I was just checking my Twitter today to see, and I have a hard time seeing that hashtag right now from my friends. And so I'm seeing less of my friends bashing Trump supporters. I'm actually seeing some of my friends who were on that Never Trump group saying, hey, I went out for early voting and I already voted, and I voted straight Republican, or I voted for Trump, and maybe the reasons why. So I'm seeing a big swing over, as you've said. I see it anecdotally, but there are still quite a few of the younger folks who are disenfranchised with elections in general, but especially with the Republican Party. And what's sad is that they have turned against other evangelicals and turned against the Republican Party, so that all of their bashing seems to be concentrated on those who are looking to support Trump, as opposed to saying things about Hillary Clinton as well, or even better, just speaking positively about maybe a third party candidate that they would want to vote for.
Isaac, this is Gary, and two quick questions here. But number one, do you think that most of the millennials, the sage cons that we talk about on this particular program, do you think that they are paying attention to the platform? You talk about the fact that some of them are even turning away maybe from Trump and looking closer at some sort of a third party approach. Do they pay attention to the platform of the various political parties out there, or no?
I don't think they have been, to be honest, Gary. And I think that until one changing event, and that was the debates, especially the debate with Governor Pence, where he took such a strong stand for biblical morality, and then the third debate where Trump was actually asked questions about these things and he actually got a chance. I don't think the media has been pointing out his policies or his platform. And so therefore, many people, especially in our age group, haven't heard that. We just hear the late night television jokes, and we want to be, you know, politically correct. And so we haven't concentrated on that because until the debates, we hadn't heard it. And I think that it's after that third debate that I've started to see so much changing going on in the social media that I'm involved with, because I think you're right. I think they're starting to see the platform in a different, through the debates, for example.
Okay, and I wonder that. I appreciate your answer. But to go into this a bit deeper, we know that the middle and the younger generation is looking for authenticity. I mean, we've talked about that many times on this program. They're looking for that which is genuine, and therefore they're very disturbed by both of the mainline candidates that are up there, Hillary and Donald. In fact, many of them see them as a real problem. And so my question to you, Isaac, is as a pastor, how have you dealt with this issue with your in your own life as well as with others of your age? We want authenticity. We don't see perfection in any of these candidates. How have you dealt with that? And have you talked about that? Have you preached about it? How have you communicated that with others of your age?
Yes. Yeah. You know, I have always looked at Donald Trump, even from early on in the primaries, and I tried to look at the different candidates and see what I do appreciate about them, not just the negatives. And I've always seen him as an outsider and somebody who's not politically correct. And that's something I appreciate, as well as his business acumen. But I didn't see him as someone I wanted to vote for until Dr. Ben Carson came out supporting him. And as soon as that happened, I told people that the moment I saw that, I said there must be more to Donald Trump than the media is showing us. And for Ben Carson to support him is something major. Then Governor Mike Pence, who I really look up to and have known personally, for him to come out even when he was supposedly supporting Ted Cruz, his endorsement to Ted Cruz, he also spoke highly of Donald Trump. And again, I said that speaks volumes to me. And then, of course, as Trump has continued to go down this road of, you know, picking Mike Pence for his VP position and putting people like Michelle Bachmann and others around him, Ben Carson, for quality biblical counseling and understanding. To me, I just see a great growth in him. And I see what I want to see in a candidate, to see somebody who goes out with a vice president like Mike Pence, who we see on the debate stage standing stronger than any other candidate in my history that I remember watching, going all the way back to watching Mondale and Reagan debate on TV. I never remember somebody that was so strong, pro-life, pro-constitution, pro-religious liberty. And to take that stand publicly, to me, is somebody that I'm very excited about. And as I preach biblical truths, I feel like his platform, as you pointed out, and the people he's surrounding with, are showing themselves, showing their true colors of a biblical morality and biblical truth.
Pastor Crock, let me follow up with another question here to you just in the remaining few moments. George Barnett, when he was on the program, made an appeal to the folks that were out there who perhaps were undecided. And he said to them, if you do not vote for either candidate or you don't vote at all, then you forfeit your ability or right to complain about whatever happens afterward. Now, I've heard some people say, you know, I don't know that I agree with that fully. How did you respond to that, and how do you respond to that argument?
Right, I do. I agreed with that. I love that quote because it's so true. And I think it's biblical that we are to do our best and that we are to also let nothing be done with strife and vainglory, but instead we're to hold forth the word of life. And my father was involved as a pastor in reaching out to civil authorities and calling Christians to keep our civil leaders accountable. And he always compared our vote to the talents handed out to the servants in Jesus' parable, the parable of the talents. And he said that we are expected as Christians to make our vote count for the most possible. And that means sometimes voting for the best of two candidates, voting for the least bad of two candidates, or sometimes in between. But we are always to vote for what is our country's best interest as Christians, because we're called to walk as children of light, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. And if we don't vote with as children of light, how can we complain about those who voted the way they wanted to? We must. And I know you've quoted before millions of Christians that in the last couple of elections have not gone out and voted the light of the gospel in the voting booth. How do we have the gall to turn around and complain about how others voted if we didn't even take the opportunity?
Well, I appreciate that, Pastor Crockett. When we come back, and we're about to go into a break. When we come back on the other side, I'm going to be asking you to pray for our nation Gary and I are going to ask a couple more questions. I'll ask Gary to set up a few basis elements of basic biblical principles about prayer, and then we're going to conclude this program in prayer as we go into it. And I also want to ask you a question. I want you to take about 2 minutes of the next part of the break segment and talk to those individuals still out there, those Christian evangelicals who still are thinking, you know what, I still don't think I can vote for either one, or I'm going to stay at home. So just prepare just a few thoughts, if you could. I want you to share that when we come back. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Stand in the Gap today. Sam Rohr and Gary Dahl and our special guest, Pastor Isaac Crockett. And he's going to be with us as we go into the last segment. And we invite you to participate with us as he leads us in prayer for our country, for our election, and for all that's going on around us, because we certainly do need God's help and God's mercy in these days. Stay with us, and we'll be right back right after these very few brief announcements. Christian parents want their children to excel in spiritual growth and educational achievement. Both are essential for future success in an increasingly complex world full of moral and economic challenges. BJU Press Materials place great value on the knowledge of God in His works. They teach critical thinking skills your child will need to get along both now and in the future. BJU Press Materials are available for grades K to 12. From the earliest grades, they teach biblical Christianity as a system of God-revealed truths. BJU Press Materials are well-written, grade-level appropriate, and biblically integrated. Teacher's editions assure that instructors have the plans and extra tools to keep your child engaged and excited about learning by teaching your child how to analyze, evaluate, and ultimately create new solutions. And that's just what today's workplace is looking for. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit bjupress.com. That's bjupress.com.
Live, love, learn, and leave a legacy. These are great words, but if you want to leave a legacy to your children and grandchildren these days, it's going to take some careful planning. And that's where we come in. We're the Life Financial Group, advisors you can trust. We're Christian, families based upon the Bible, so that we can say we truly understand your values. In fact, for nearly 40 years, folks of all ages have counted on us to care for and grow their financial resources. Through prayer, prudent investment, and pleasant, knowledgeable people, we can help you navigate your investments so you feel secure. We're glad to offer morally clean investment options that won't sear your conscience or make you anxious. We're also comfortable talking about increasing the impact of your charitable giving. How do we make a difference? So learn how you can have peace of mind by calling us today at 610-385-4500. That's 610-385-4500. Or online at thelifegroup.org. That's thelifegroup.org.
Securities and advisory services offered through Genius Wealth Management, member FINRA and SIPC.
Katie McGinty says she's one of us, but look at her record.
McGinty became a millionaire on corporate boards after sending them our tax dollars. That's why she's known as Shady Katie.
McGinty's companies outsource jobs to China and Mexico instead of creating them in Pennsylvania.
There's more. In Washington, Katie McGinty was a registered lobbyist, and she wants to raise middle-class taxes.
McGinty has supported higher income taxes, sales taxes, and energy taxes, more than $3,000 per middle-class household.
Katie McGinty, a millionaire lobbyist who wants to raise our taxes.
She's not for us.
Pat Toomey is different. Even leading Democrats have called Toomey a man of uncommon decency and praised his seriousness, intellect, and civility.
Pat Toomey, for our jobs, our security, and common sense government.
I'm Pat Toomey, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Friends of Pat Toomey.
I'm Jan Mark Hill, helping you understand the times.
But realistically, you want to read the people. You're going to learn a whole lot more if you understand where that individual comes from, what they've done, and perhaps most importantly, what they want to do.
People continually ask, who is the right candidate? And I say both candidates are flawed people. However, we need to choose one, so how do we make that choice? My advice is simple, since it seems that neither candidate is a stellar choice. I would vote for the party whose platform seems to be the most moral in principle. I would also vote for the party that supports legislation that is in keeping with our Constitution and will support the rights of religious freedom. Don't let the candidates keep you from voting. There is more at stake than just a couple of flawed candidates. Make sure you vote. vote. For more information, listen to our weekend program on this station or anytime at olivetreeviews.org.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, as we wind our program down for this week, we're going to bring back in our special guest, Pastor Isaac Crockett. He is a millennial age pastor, happens to also be be somebody who knows the Pence family very well, and he's commented on that in the past. I think it's very interesting that the Lord has kind of brought those things together. But Pastor Crockett, I asked you before we left on the other side of the break, and before we go into prayer here in just a moment, I'd like you to take just a minute. I'm going to have to ask you to compress it tightly, but say if there is one singular message that you could give to those folks out there who are still thinking, or Christians, evangelicals, who are still thinking, I either don't need to vote or I don't think I can vote or whatever, what would you tell them right now?
Well, you know, I would remind them that as Christians, we are to redeem the time because the days are evil, Ephesians 5, 15, and 16. And just technically speaking, I'm not a party line kind of guy. I've voted for both parties. I've voted for third parties and even right into times when I felt compelled to do so on smaller level voting. But, the guy out in Utah, this Mormon fellow that some of my friends are supporting, he's not on the ballot in Pennsylvania. He's only in 11 states. He's not electable. I don't want to put my vote. I don't want to waste it. I want to vote in a way that votes against the evil policies that Hillary promotes, and I want to vote towards a way to elect a candidate that has a vice president like Mike Pence, that has counselors like Ben Carson and Michelle Bachmann around him, and you ask for prayers of guidance. I think if we don't see a change to what's going on in our country right now, harder choices are going to come, much harder than what we're seeing in the ballot box this time around. We're going to be asking ourselves as parents, do I teach my children about the Bible at this young age or not? Because if they go to school and squeal on me for teaching them the Bible, they'll be taken away from my home and put into foster or government care where they'll be brainwashed. You know, how do I do that? My brother-in-law just came back from Russia. He runs orphanages over there. They're not even allowed to share their faith in their own homes anymore. This has happened all over Europe, all over the world, and it happened. My grandfather reminds me of how this happened in World War II. In Europe, as they were taken over and brainwashed by the Germans, he was part of the Dutch underground resistance movement. The same kind of stuff is happening right now on a daily basis in America, and our choices are only going to get harder.
Pastor Crockett, very well stated, and to have someone who is in your 30s, and I'll tell people where you're in your 30s, to note that and to state that there should be a real alert and awakening for a lot of people. Brother Pastor Gary, and Gary, I'm going to go to you right now and say, give us just a couple of minutes worth of basic principles for prayer. A lot of people are praying. We should be praying, but God says we need to pray properly. So tell us about that just briefly, and then we'll go to Pastor Crockett and have him close us in prayer.
Sure thing, Sam, and just think of it. Pastor Crockett could be your son, so I don't know what that says, but he could be your son.
He could. I'd be proud of it, too.
Go ahead. That's right, absolutely. But, you know, prayer is so very, very important to those of us who are believers. And my favorite Old Testament verse on prayer is Jeremiah 33:3, where God says, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." My favorite New Testament verse on prayer is James 5:16, where it says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Certainly, we know that prayer works. And of course, I believe that as we face this election, it's very significant. That's why at our church, Faith Baptist Church of Altoona, we are calling for a day of prayer and fasting on Monday. But there are numerous principles in the Word of God, Sam, that relate to prayer. Just five of them that come to my mind. First of all, salvation. One must truly be saved if he or she is going to expect for their prayer to be answered. Then there must be the confessed sin. If there's sin in our lives, the Lord does not hear us. And so when we come to the Lord in prayer, it's important that we confess any sin that we might have hidden or even a spiritual weight that might be holding us back. Thirdly, we should pray faith-believing. When we come to the Lord in prayer, We must believe that God does hear, God does answer prayer, and that he will answer prayer. And, you know, if we pray without faith, then it's just wasted words. Thirdly, we must pray with a serious-minded attitude. In other words, let's just not pray vain repetition, but when we come to the Lord, let's come with a burden and a serious burden, even supplication, which means to pray seriously until we see God work. And then I often say we need to pray with praise and thanksgiving. That is, thanking God for what he is going to do. Many times people ask the question, does God answer all prayer? My answer to that is, if every prayer is followed and based upon biblical principles, God will answer that prayer. It may not be the way we want it to be answered, but he will answer it because he's promised to do so.
Good point, Gary. Pastor Crockett, having that established, we know what's coming up before us. There are a lot of things to pray for. Our leaders, our pastors in the pulpit, people in their voting, people in their obedience before the Lord. Take and pray. Bring these things before the Lord. Lead our congregation, our people, our listeners across the country as we close this program today here on this Friday. Would you go ahead, please?
Almighty God, we humble ourselves and come to you thankful for all that you have given us, but thankful especially for this opportunity that you have promised us when we come before your throne room. It is a throne room of grace. And we come before your throne of grace to ask for even more grace because you have promised to give it to us. We ask that grace be given to our country and that we might bless the Lord as a country, that we might repent and cast away the works of darkness as we put on the armor of God to walk as children of light. We pray that our republic would come together as one nation under God, that we would believe what is on our motto, what is on our currency, that we would trust in God, and God we trust. We pray that you might save us from violence, from discord, from confusion, from arrogance and jealousy. We pray that our hearts and lives will be moved to embrace righteousness, courage, and peace. Oh, dear Father, I pray that our pastors would preach the word of God, that they would be instant in season and out of season, no matter what the circumstances. And I pray that God's people would live as children of light in this dark world, and that we may have done all to stand against the evil works of the devil. We pray this knowing that your Spirit can and will empower such strength, and that your Son Jesus modeled such living. It is in his precious and holy name, the name of Jesus Christ, we pray these things. We love you, and we thank you, Father. Amen.
Amen and amen. Pastor Crockett, thank you so much for leading us in prayer today. Ladies and gentlemen, as you are listening to this program live right now, or so many who will be listening to this program later in the day across the country, we would ask that you also, in this weekend, you go into it in a spirit and an attitude of prayer. Go before God, as Pastor Isaac Crockett has just led us on this program, and as we've been doing on this program all week. We need God's help. We need God's mercy. On this program, we bring to you the news of the day, to the best of our ability, the current news from a biblical and constitutional perspective. We bring issues that are of concern. We try to bring issues that are of great encouragement. But we also try to bring, at the end of the day, on all things, a biblical perspective, because we believe the Word of God answers and speaks to all issues of life, whatever they are. So, ladies and gentlemen, wherever you are and what issue you may be facing in your life right now, we're all considering the election. We know that's important. The world is watching. You may have issues in your own life. We pray that you take that before the Lord, and to the best of our ability, we pray for you collectively. I want you to know that, you who listen to the program, that God will undertake for you. For this weekend, we ask that you go into it looking for opportunities to stand in the gap for truth. And until we meet again on Monday, over the weekend, stand in the gap for truth where you are. This is Sam Rohr and Gary Dahl on behalf of David Kistler, on behalf of Stand in the Gap Today. God bless you. Stand tall for truth where you are.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler. Brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. We seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.AmericanPastorsNetwork.net and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission.
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. WFYL reminds you to pray for America.
Broadcasting live from historic West Norriton Township, this is AM 1180.